Well, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The firings this week of Charles Hayward and Patrick Kehoe, the former number one and two at New York State's Racing Association, have called into question the ability of NYRA to operate the state's three horse racing tracks and the idea expanded gaming in general. So as Governor Cuomo calls for a constitutional amendment to allow Vegas-style casinos in the state, we got this. Massachusetts is getting in on the gaming as well. They have companies vying for one of three casino licenses the state will grant in accordance with new policy passed last November. Today, we want to know what you think of gambling and the expansion of gambling in your locale. It is everywhere, whether it's a scratch-off or it's the Racino or whatever you want. It's nearby, regardless of where you are. Alan Chartok is here to respond, a man who has never been to a blackjack table in his life. Alan Chartok here to respond to your questions. Hey, welcome back there, sir.
Thank you, Raymond. I have to tell you, I have been in gambling casinos. We were out there once, in the Midwest somewhere, and we wandered in off an Indian reservation into a gambling casino.
Yeah.
I've never seen such depression in my life. You got all these slot machines, a few drabby people, you know, hanging around. I just think an argument, a substantial argument can be made that gambling isn't good for us. In some ways, we refuse to tax the rich, but at the same time, we say to the poor schlubs, you're going to lose. We're going to get our cut. The state's going to get our cut. And we're going to encourage things like, let's face it, gambling addiction is a very strong thing. We can deal with that, of course, on some levels. But once you do that, I know people have gambled away their restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Truly.
Sure.
One major restaurant right here in Albany years ago, one of the best things that was ever in Albany, guy got into terrible gambling problems. Now, people will gamble one way or the other.
Yes, they will.
And the argument on the other side is, let's take our cut. On the other hand, I had a doorman when I lived on 96th Street named Harry. And Harry would get on the bus. I said, what do you do on your days off? He said, I get on the bus, I sleep all night, and I go to Pimlico.
Ah, the
down,
track,
yeah. Down the track. That was 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But it is a very, a very tough thing. The phones are beginning to ring.
Oh, I should give the number.
Crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah,
apparently, I gave the wrong number all day the other day.
Going
I gave
Box
the
Pop?
Station number.
We're getting ready for the fun drive,
1-800-348-2551 is the one.
That's the correct
you call
number
now.
For this program, 800-348.
Don't call the other one, which is, no.
Don't do it. 800-3, save it for the fun drive. 800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones. Don in Center Square. Don, you're on.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so I didn't really have a question, but I just wanted to register my opinion on state gambling.
Good.
And, I listened to Joe and Ray in the morning, and a couple of weeks ago they recommended a book called The Power of Habit by a guy named Charles Duhigg. And I read the book, and in it there's a kind of a case study of a lady who, sort of similar to what Alan was saying, she got involved in gambling as a pastime, and before you know it, she had gambled away her inheritance and
sure.
made her family destitute. And it's interesting because in the book they go through what the gaming industry did to continually entice her to come back, and how they had a full
how they do it. They gave her, they comped her, and they fed her.
Comped her. They enticed her to come back. They knew that she had filed for bankruptcy at one point in her life, and continued to kind of barrage her with phone calls and pleas to come back, and blah blah blah, until finally she had gambled everything.
Okay,
away.
So you're registered. All five phones are ringing, Don. But I did want to say something to you first, and that is that I'm impressed that Joe and mentioned a book, and that you went out and read it. You're my kind of guy.
All right,
and thank you.
Well, real quickly, the comment I want to make is I listen to what's happening here and in neighboring states, and these politicians are counting this gambling money before
sure.
they've even got it passed. And you can bet that if they're counting it, they've already spent it. So you can't reverse these things. You can't reverse the scratch-off lottos. It doesn't go backwards.
I buy enough of them.
Don, that's a great point.
I'm addicted to them.
Spent it already. Thank you very much. Let's go to Mike in Hudson. Mike, you're on.
Oh, okay. So just a quick point on this. I know that, gambling addiction is a big problem, but at the same time, I am a big supporter of personal freedom. My biggest question is, why is it that whenever we talk about legalizing gambling in a state or locality, it's just a couple of permits are put up for bid for giant corporations. Why is it that we can't, if we're going to legalize it, why can't it be open to smaller companies or even individuals to open up their own small casinos?
Very interesting question. Hey, Mike, very interesting question. I'm going to let Ray Graff answer it.
I don't know, except that it costs a lot of money to build, you know, the infrastructure for that. And I'm sure the state says, well, we don't want a little rinky-dink boutique casino. We want our rake to be pretty solid.
Yeah, but Mike makes an interesting point.
But I see where
you're going, why can't you have some enterprise here? You know, somehow it seems as if the fix is in. And I'll tell you something, Mike. You go look at who gives big money to the campaigns, and you're going to find these very people you're complaining about.
The developers are going to make more money than the state. I mean, let's face that.
Yeah.
Their profit is going to be more than they pay in taxes.
But not necessarily, you know, the real question in politics always has been, you know, we always talk about corruption in India. Corruption in China. But believe me, Donald Trump knows how to make honest campaign contributions to the right people, right? I mean, we know that. For years, he tried to keep gambling out of New York State so that people would go to his place in New Jersey. So there is not only a connection, and then whose law firms are representing these people and who are politically well-fixed and all the rest of it. It's disgusting, and I think you make a very strong point.
Thank you, Mike. Of course, you know, we haven't had a constitutional amendment here in New York yet, so we can't really say that anyone is making money either legitimately or illegitimately off casinos. Right.
Well, no. But in casinos, as Mike said, in other states, people are making money.
Well, we had Massachusetts just yesterday. The people of Foxborough, pretty much scotched the deal between Steve Wynn and the guy Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots, who wanted to lease property near the stadium.
This is the people in the town who voted on it in town meeting.
They voted for aldermen or selectmen. I don't remember which.
The two selectmen
who did not want to deal with Steve Wynn. So
and I'll tell you right now,
ice.
I don't live here. I live in Massachusetts too. But if I were walking into the voting booth right now, I have to be honest with you. And, you know, the voting booth was closed and nobody could see in. I'd vote against it in a New York second.
All right. A New York second. Mark's in South Cairo. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that I completely agree with Alan. Having gambling in New York State and state-sanctioned gambling, which scratch-offs and all that really are, and the history of bad ideas, it's way at the top of the list, and it's just, it's repugnant to me.
But don't go away yet, Mark. But let me ask you this. What do you think? I mean, the argument that the governor will give you is, hey, all our people are going to go over to Massachusetts or down in New Jersey. Why should we get a slice of the pie?
Let them go. Let them go. And you know what? As soon as you prohibit anything, there's always a black market. I'm aware of that.
Sure.
But you know what? It's just smarmy business.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank
All
you.
Right, thanks, Mark. All right. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Wes in Schoharie. Wes.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I got one quick question, and then I got a response. My question to you is, sir, why is it that they want to bring the gambling casinos to the Catskills? And I missed part of you talking about a little
Well,
bit
the Catskills, Wes, used to be, you know, a great place for people to vacation. And then they fell on hard times. And the theory is that if you put gambling casinos in there, you will regenerate people's interest in going to the Catskills. Simple and end of story.
How about the fact, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how about the fact that they know they build these big casinos on people's losses, and just like you were stating, the people that went to destitute from their losses, and they let this gambling addiction keep going on.
Well, they'll make arguments. They'll say, we're going to set up a gambling addiction cessation program, you know, that kind of thing. That's the argument they're going to make. It's nonsense, of course, because, you know, here's the point. The easier it is to spend the money. I mean, look, let's face it. You could go to your local bar, probably find the bookie, and probably put some money down. I've never done it, but you probably could. But you have to make an effort to do that. Whereas if you legitimize it, somebody's going to say, well, you know, it's just down the road there. I'll go and I'll spend my money. And I got to tell you, the only time I've ever been in one of these things, I got a handful of dollar bills and I threw them all into the slot machine and I lost.
Uh-oh. What would have happened if you won?
I would have been addicted for life.
Well, thank you, Wes. You know, Wes's point, well made. However, you could say, well, you know, okay, alcohol is legal. And yes, some people go and buy 10 bottles of booze and drink themselves to death.
Well,
but not everybody.
This is called the Mario Cuomo School of Argumentation. Two wrongs obviously justify a right.
But not necessarily wrong if it's free will. And, you know, there's going to be that percentage of the population that has addiction problems, and they should stay away. But if the state is losing money to Connecticut, millions of dollars, and Massachusetts losing money too, then people are gambling anyway. Why, you know, just taking the state side of it, why shouldn't they get their take?
Well, I already laid that argument out. That's their argument that they're using. There are those of us who think that the state has to have a higher moral authority and protect people, not exploit them.
All right, then let's ban everything. Zach, let's take a break. 800-348-2551.
Including smoking.
That's right. 800-348-2551. More on the Nanny State coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Customized eyewear fittings, European frame lines, and more. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY eyewear.net. Curtis Lumber, proudly serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more for 21 locations in New York and Southern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30. Hildene.org. Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts. A college prep, boarding, and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a 5-week summer session, EHS1.org. Fidelity Investments, Albany Investor Center located at 59 Wolf Road, 1-800-FIDELITY or fidelity.com for more information. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE SIPC. And EB's Hudson Valley Finds in the heart of Rhinebeck Village, featuring an assortment of hand-selected items from jewelry to accessories to home goods, all handcrafted locally in the Hudson Valley area. HudsonValleyFinds.com.
One 800-348-2551, the telephone number. It's Vox Pop on WAMC.
Alex, but all five phones are in use right now. But I have to tell you something. I love Ray Graff, and I love his asides. You know, he can't fool me. He and I are on different sides of this. Let me tell you right
now.
No,
not necessarily.
No, when you say something like, you know, more from the Nanny State as your last thing before we leave.
Yes.
We know where you are, Ray.
All right,
we
sir.
Know who you are.
Well, let's leave me out of this. Let's go to Alex in Duanesburg. Alex, you're on with Alan.
Hello, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I'm definitely opposed to the gambling being legalized, and I don't know if either of you remember when we had referendum to pass to have lotto and scratch offs and all the other gambling. And the way they got that passed was it was supposed to be a panacea for education.
Right.
And that money was supposed to go to education, never went there, went in general fund.
Well, the governor, I mean, I used to have the show with Mario all the time. You remember that? And everybody used to want to ask that question, and his answer was very simple. Hey, what's the difference? You put it in the general fund, you spend it on education.
Well, that's how they got it passed, though. It would have never passed if they hadn't promised that it was going to education.
What year was that?
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago.
And I'm waiting for this Cuomo to play that card again. And that's, I'm sure he will. But that's the main reason why I'm opposed to it. In addition, it didn't bring us anything really, any good. I mean, sure, there's money involved, but it's much more of a deficit, I think, with the quality of life. And I agree with you when you talk about going to the gambling casinos. And there's nobody there you want to rub elbows with.
That's interesting about that because, you know, everybody said, you know, Atlantic City, it's going to improve Atlantic City. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. It didn't. You know, the casinos may be garish, but around the corner, not so nice.
I guess Vegas is the same way, although I've not been, so I don't know.
And you make a good point. My point is, Alex, I just think government has to be, a source for morality. By the way, speaking of morality, there are institutions like the church that are against it, but then inevitably, you know, they're doing bingo in a church.
Okay.
So one has to wonder about that.
All right. Well, that's a whole nother show then, isn't it? Alex, thanks a lot for the call. well, the hypocrisy of certain
institutions. Did I use that word?
No, but that's what you're pointing out. All right. Tim in Gilderland. Tim, you're on.
I'm on. Yeah, I don't like gambling. It doesn't interest me. I don't understand the entertainment value of it. But absent that, I mean, I understand that it's popular in Vegas. And
do you have any other vices, Tim?
Oh, I have about 17,000 other vices.
Is there any you can mention on the radio?
No, I smoke.
Well, then, so you understand what addiction is all about?
Of course I do. But my issue is that I understand that there is sort of a moral stance, and quite frankly, it is a nanny state stance that would prohibit this activity. But, Mike, the reason I called is I think there's a larger issue here, is that New York State is floundering around to try and generate normal businesses, and they can't do it. They can't generate normal business activity because taxes and the size of state government and local taxes.
Well, you know, you may be right. You may be right about that, Tim, but it's easier for them. You tell people you're going to tell people you're going to tax them, and they say, elect Andrew Cuomo. But if you tell them, okay, you know, buy a scratch off, be patriotic, or go to the gambling casino, and we'll take some money. You know, people are less likely to feel it. Of course, all of those people who are losing and lose their houses, children can't go to college, you know, all the rest of it, because daddy has gambled away the stuff. That it's just easier for government to do it, is my point.
Well, my point is this, and I'll let you go because I only have a bunch of callers, that it's this whole discussion about gambling and something I wouldn't participate in is sort of a surrogate measure of the failure of the state to generate other lines of business.
Well, you're right. My friend and mentor, a man named Sebastian de Grazia, when I worked at the Eagleton Institute of Politics, you could go get this book called Of Time, Work, and Leisure. He predicted it was all going to happen. He was going to say automation, you know. No, if you listen to BBC when I do at 3:30 in the morning on the way into work, you know, they had a whole program this morning on this. The kids can't find jobs.
Yeah.
They can't find jobs because there are no jobs.
Well, you know, that's a good point. What about the job angle? In other words, casinos coming in, let's say there's one that drops in next, say, 20 miles north of Albany.
Or like in Del Mar.
Well, no, let's just say Saratoga, where the infrastructure is almost in place already at the casino. So that brings in hundreds of jobs.
Yeah.
Now, there will be those that will say, well, but those jobs, they're not very well-paying jobs. Some of them are. And even if they're not high-paying jobs, it's better than no-paying jobs.
So then why don't we just set up houses of prostitution there? We could put a lot of people to work.
I think that is...
Why don't we sell drugs, put a lot of people to work in the drug
business?
If
they were legal, then you could say do that.
Well, you're trying to make this legal.
Well,
don't you see the parallel here?
No, I do not, sir.
Wait, before we go, one last
thing.
I have to say something else. And that is, I had a letter yesterday, quite irate, about why more women weren't calling.
Yeah.
They said, why aren't... It's,
well, I think it was accusatory that we were blocking them out, which, of course, we don't. We take them in the order that they come in.
But this is a subject that, you know, people should be very interested in. We want more women on the phone. I want to make that point right now.
Well, let's go to the phones then. And, hi, Phyllis in Albany. You're on.
Thank you. Hey, I'm the woman. I wanted to comment on job creation.
Yeah.
In Atlantic City, one block away from the casinos, the avenues are lined with pawn shops. So that would be a source of jobs working in a pawn shop.
Sure.
Pawn or porn?
P-A-W-N.
Okay, because on the sheet here it says
also
porn shops.
P-O-R-N.
Yeah. Okay, so pawn shops. I got you.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Phyllis. So I take it this is tongue in cheek, right? I mean, you're tongue in cheek here. You don't think that we really want to encourage the pawn shop business?
Oh no.
No, indeed right. not.
But that's the fact because I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, hey Phyllis, great call. I'm so glad you're a woman. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Phyllis. We appreciate it very much. That was gratuitous. Let's go to Diana in Rhinebeck.
What, another woman?
Oh boy. Hi, okay. Diana.
All right.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Diana.
Hi, Alan. I did want to say that I went through a very protracted fight in Hudson when I lived in Hudson. about, you know, stop the plant, support the plant.
Yep.
It was supposedly about jobs. And, you know, coming down to it, it wasn't about jobs because they were only going to hire one person to push a button.
Yeah, I remember that.
But unfortunately, it really changed my attitude. I don't think I'll ever get on one side or the other about an issue like that again. I think we're approaching this in a very bipolar kind of way, in a very segregated way. It's like them or us. And I think what would have been nice for us to be able to do is say, okay, we need jobs. This plant here wants to come in, but they're not going to provide jobs. And maybe we should sit down as a community and talk about what kind of jobs do we really want.
And that's a very good point. I was thinking about that at 3:30 in the morning this morning on the way over here. And what I was thinking is, would it be terrible? Would it be absolute socialism if we needed jobs, the kids can't find them, if the government set up businesses, owned them, sold them to the participants when the time came, but basically set up businesses and decided we were going to make this happen. After all, what do you think we've done with the chip factories and the rest of it, or the SUNY thing? We have basically supported the whole thing. And now...
pharmaceuticals.
That's right, and which is
the government really, does a lot of research and then turns this over to very large pharmaceutical companies who then market it.
Yep.
And we don't see any money out of that.
But I take
but
some
if
issue.
The government were to start small businesses, but I think it has to start with the community. What kind of jobs do we want? Are we really gung-ho to have gambling? I mean, you know, Ray made a comment about let's ban everything, but okay, smoking, but the government's not selling cigarettes. And in this
but they
case,
take
the
their cut. They take their cut in a huge way. And you know what? The state government's not going to be running the casinos. They're getting their VIG. They're getting their cut.
They should be taking a cut because smoking is causing huge burden on the economy and on all of us.
You tell them, Diana.
Hey, Diana, thanks for the call. Let's go to Charles in Huntington. Charles.
Well, very strong conversation today. Thank you both. My feeling, let them build them. Now, you look at many of the people who I witness on the protesting, they're fat, they're obese. So their health, their poor choices of health cost everyone else money in health care.
Exactly.
If they lose money in going to the casino or having a nice dinner or whatever else they want, that is a choice. I'm amazed at the people who are against things yet violate their own bodies, their own, it's just hypocrisy.
Well, Charles, in all honesty, I agree with you up to a point. I mean, I'm with you until that point in which you say, well, let them just kill themselves. How about let them kill their families? How about take the mortgage money and spend it on gambling? Government has a role here.
All right, Alan, I'm 71. You're, I think, a year younger than I am.
No, I'm about to be 71. We're on par. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, but we both take care of ourselves. We're probably, I know I am, a very skilled, a good driver. My insurance is lower because I'm a good driver. If I'm a bad driver, my insurance goes up. But when people abuse their bodies and violate taking care of themselves, their insurance is the same. So, you know,
that's
it's wrong. I have a sand and gravel bank also up here, and it's amazing at town meetings every 5 years.
Wait, that's your sand and gravel bank? You own it?
Yeah, I own
it. Okay.
And it's been here a long time. So you have public hearings. People that move in from another town, they move to this idyllic road here. Yeah. They don't like my trucks.
Yeah.
And yet there were trucks that went by other people's homes to bring them their Title V sand, their home construction.
Could we call you a libertarian?
That's the ugly side of selfish. You know,
what do you mean?
when people are against something because they don't like it, but yet they received materials from that went past other people's homes to give them the benefit.
No, okay.
Now,
yeah. Okay.
So it's the same thing on the gambling. If a person, I don't gamble, that's my choice.
Yeah,
it's
but what about your kids? What about your grandchildren, 71 years old?
I wish I'm not. That's my chagrin, Alan. I don't have.
Okay, but if you did.
But look at the advertising dollars it'll bring to the to the local media, to the radio stations.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, what about houses of ill repute? What about, I mean, we could, you know, where does this end?
But that is already a law, that it's against the law.
No, this is a law. You can't do this unless you pass this constitutional amendment.
Right. And we'll see what the public says. I mean, it comes down to that at the end.
Yeah, well,
let them eat cake.
The prostitution is a story we don't. Right now, it's on the gambling casinos.
Yeah, and Charles, we're going to move it along, but you make great points.
I'm sure you are.
You make great points, and I expect that the only thing that you said wrong was that Alan was a good driver. Other than that, you were right on it. Let's move along.
He's with you.
Let's move it along to Lee in Ulster. Lee.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I've been listening carefully. My initial comment was about the fact that the lotto got in New York State because it was supposed to support education, and then that money just got eaten. And my comment at this point would be, why not, if you're going to support gambling, tie it to making better choices? Where has that lotto money gone? If you're going to do this, then do this in a way that at least solves the other problem and hopefully puts a piece of that gambling money into education or into something that makes sense.
You know,
If you can't stop it, can't you at least make it better?
Lee, I spoke to this earlier. I'll tell you what the senior Governor Cuomo used to say all the time about this. He used to make that point and say, it's going to the general fund, and the general fund is giving money to all the school districts. But if we didn't do that, if we didn't have the lottery, there would be less to give to the school districts out of the general fund. Following?
I understand the logic that was used. I'm saying if there's a way to change that, is it not appropriate at this point, if they're going to support gambling, to make part of that law that the lotto money is no longer part of the general fund, but is designated specifically to support.
But what would you gain?
I have no idea how much goes into the general fund and how much of that comes out for education. My taxes certainly don't reflect anything from the general fund to support education.
All right. Well, Lee, you make some very good points. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. Paul in Hillsdale is on. Paul, you're on.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say is, if you take a look at gambling in Connecticut, the Indian casinos are almost going bankrupt. Also, there's a problem in Atlantic City with some of the casinos there. So this is not exactly a slam dunk. Plus, we're saying that New York is losing this money. You can't lose something you don't have right now. There are plenty of opportunities to gain new businesses in New York. In fact, we have been gaining new business at a higher pace than some other states with lower taxes. So, and you can look that up.
Well, you know what? I agree with you about the casinos in Connecticut, because I think I just saw a week or two ago that either Foxwoods or Mohegan has refinanced their debt, and they're not doing well. But I think all
they're
these casinos
well.
Are not doing well because the economy tanked. But as far as your argument that, you know, you can't lose what you never had, for instance, let's say Ray, before he had five kids, might go to the casino three times a year.
You mean over
in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Now, I'll take my couple hundred dollars. That's money that if there was a casino in New York, New York gets their cut of that because I don't go all the way to
Ledger. What do you say to that, Paul?
What do I say to that?
Yeah.
Right now, if you wanted to invest that money, Ray, you could find a bookie, a local bookie, to do it.
Yeah, but I don't do it.
That's against the law, Paul. You know that very well.
Of course it's against the law. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't sound like you have a strong addiction there.
Right. But all I'm saying is, New York did.
It's not going to make one bit of difference whether that casino, you know, if somebody really wants to gamble, whether that casino is in New Jersey or Connecticut or Vegas,
okay,
it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
They're going to find one way or another, whether it's,
No, you made that point already. You made that point already.
No, my point is,
it's coming around for the third time.
Let me finish.
All right, well, you finish it up real quickly here. That's good.
We should not be promoting something that most of the people in this state are morally against.
Well, you know,
poll after poll suggests they are against.
Okay,
well, then you know what?
Happens.
Then the vote, when the two houses, when the two legislatures pass it, it then goes to the people, right?
Yeah.
So if what Paul says is true, then the people voted
maybe,
down.
Maybe.
I say the people vote for it in a landslide.
No, I think the people vote against it. I'm with Paul, but I hate to say that. But the other question is, what will happen is that the governor and his minions in the legislature, they're all scared of him, you know, will go out there and they will push for this like crazy. And they'll use basically public resources in a Democratic, you know, facade to make this thing happen. And, you know, you can fool a lot of the people a lot of the time.
But regardless of whether the two legislatures pass it,
yes,
it still comes down to the people. So regardless of how much arm twisting so-and-so might do to get it through Albany, it still has to go to the people,
unless I misunderstand the constitutional process. Lot, of course, because in North Carolina, they just had a vote, this week on gay marriage.
But again, that's North Carolina.
Down it goes.
All right, sir. Hey, you know what, Zach? Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And then we'll hit the home stretch. And by golly,
Manny State indeed.
It's going to be exciting.
Support for WAMC comes from Capital Region Language Center, announcing their new bilingual Chinese English and Spanish English preschools in Clifton Park, New York. CRLCAlbany.org for registration. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. The Saratogian, sponsoring the Taste of Home Cooking School with recipes, cooking tips, entertainment, and more, Monday, May 14th at the Saratoga Springs City Center, Saratogian.com for tickets and information. The Office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, New York, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, featuring laser and digital technologies, WoodstockDentist.com. Chez Albert, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring dishes inspired by French country cooking and introducing a new and expanded location at 178 North Pleasant Street, ChezAlbert.net for menu. And Hudson Valley Mold Remediation, providing mold inspection and mold remediation for water and storm-damaged valley homes and businesses, HudsonValleyMoldRemediation.com.
Yeah, you know who this is, Alan? This is music? Can you guess?
Yeah, it's Benny Goodman and the Benny Goodman Quartet.
Close. No, it's the Crusaders. Jazz,
I missed
funk.
I missed the 70s.
Yeah, wasn't it great?
I wasn't there.
800-348-2551. We go to Lanny in Saugerties. Lanny.
Hi, I'm from Saugerties, and a few years ago in Saugerties, we had an Indian proposed casino coming into the heart of our town. And my main objection to it is that it was going to take a relatively small town and completely take it over, in the sense that there would be millions and millions of dollars of casino interests coming into play in our local political world. And we didn't have a chance. And the same is true, consistent with what Alan just said, that, you know, the fortune, both government money and casino money, in a public referendum, I mean, who's going to pay to oppose it? I mean, everybody who called mostly are opposed to this casino, but where the money's coming from to mount the campaign to say we don't want this kind of corrupt investment in our society, sure, in our state, is going to be a very big challenge.
And you know, it's a brilliant point, Lenny. It is a brilliant point.
And local communities, you know, Massachusetts local communities are being said, you don't have to have it if you don't want it.
Yeah. Right.
But who's paying the opposition to oppose?
Well, they just shot it down in Foxborough yesterday.
And by the way, that's why they call it 1%, the 1%, because that 1% has an equalizer. It's called lots of money, Lanny, as you point out.
Right.
Hey, Lanny, that was a great call.
Thank you very much. You. Yes. Susie in Saratoga. Susie, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to say I don't think it's government's place to be promoting something that could cause such havoc in someone's life.
Right, you are.
Such as an addiction.
Or as Sarah Palin would say, you betcha.
Coming from Saratoga, the Racino, which is now formally the casino, was shoved down the people's throats through the politicians. They approved it. We had two people on an 18-board panel of supervisors. And it was shoved down our throats. I don't know a single soul in Saratoga that wanted this.
Has it changed the quality of your life there?
Yes, it has.
In what way?
There are scenarios where you see people strangers walking up and down the street picking up bottles, and you know, you've got penny machines in there, and if you go into the Racino and you actually look at the people in there, they're destitute. There's people driving from Vermont to come here, and it doesn't make any sense. They don't, I mean, one day it was like this toothless woman from Vermont, and she's looking for the Racino, and she couldn't afford to be there. She shouldn't have been going there. And that's what we're going to promote in all of our communities. And I think government needs to learn how to cut costs, not pull money from those that have it the least, or we're going to see bigger problems. And one last thought.
Sure.
Just go to Atlantic City or Nevada and see what the gambling there has done. The schools stink. There's no money going into those communities.
Okay.
The it's very destitute anywhere outside of the Oasis in Atlantic
You know what,
City.
Susie? Damn well said.
Thank you,
Thank
Susie.
You.
The only thing I would say, I would caution against, is to characterize everyone who goes to a casino as destitute and toothless and unable to support going to a casino.
Well, how about 2 out of 3?
I got to tell you something. There are plenty of people
who
quite business, you know, well.
Who have teeth.
You know, they have good careers and they go for a little fun. It's not always ne'er-do-wells who go to a casino.
No, you're right.
And so
we
I
have
think
to remember
that's
that.
A danger. Yeah. Rick in Poughkeepsie. Rick.
Hey, I'm calling because I was just at a protest today against the Bank of America. It's been going on around the country. And, you know, Bank of America hasn't paid any taxes since the bailout. And that's just one corporate example of, you know, money that could be coming in. You know, our state should not be sponsoring something that's just going to make poor people poor. We need to make the one percenters that aren't paying their fair share pay up.
I say, good luck, Charlie. You're absolutely right. Of course you're right. You know, look, somebody just said, tighten up on government. There's another way. Let everybody pay their fair share. We sure do. The shark ducks do. We pay 33%. That's a lot of money. But the 1% doesn't pay it. You're right.
But question, though, if the state allows licenses,
sure,
are they, strictly speaking, sponsoring or are they allowing it? In other words, that's a difference, and that's a qualitative difference in the argument.
Rick, do you want to go first before I beat him up?
Well, if not, I'm going to say is if we have to take back this country from the corporate interest. And, you know, the state would simply not be needing to go after this money if we had the proper payments coming in from people that could afford to do
okay.
so.
Okay. God bless you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry.
Yes. Good afternoon, Alan and Ray. Hi.
Hi.
Andrew Cuomo puts forth the argument that we already have gambling in New York State,
sure,
as if the argument about gambling is already over. But you could use also this fact that to argue that government already derives a large share of its revenue through gambling. Even if you're in favor of some gambling, isn't there still the idea that you can have too much of a good thing?
What other gambling do we have?
Oh, my gosh. Do you go into convenience stores at all?
Can't buy anything there because none of it's good for you. But no, really, I go home. You know,
all the lotteries and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure.
We've been debating this for over a decade, and it just seems like we get more and more forms of gambling.
You know what else?
The
biggest gambling in New York State is the stock market. Did you ever think of that?
Oh yeah.
It's a gamble.
And it seems to be we're relying more on that kind of thinking more and more. I also have another point, too, and that gambling helps foster the addiction of greed. So many people start dreaming about all the things they'd buy if they won these things, especially with the higher stakes types of gambling.
I think
like
that
Powerball.
Is a great argument, Jerry. I think that's a good one.
It's an interesting point.
And when they lose, like 99.99% of them do, many of them are more disappointed with what they have than what they'd have otherwise.
Thank you for a fresh philosophical take on this. We've done several shows on this. First time I've heard that. Well done. Gold star for you, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
it. Cheryl in Milford, PA. Cheryl.
Hi, I am the daughter of, I should say the granddaughter of a compulsive gambler, the niece of several compulsive gamblers.
Nice.
Yes. And I can attest to the disruption of the household and the unhappiness and the financial issues and all that kind of thing. And my mother, when the gambling issue came up in New Jersey, voted against it. But ironically, many years later, as a freelance writer, I began writing for casino magazines, which every time I got my check, I would call my mother. And she said, well, thank God you're getting some of your grandfather's money back.
But the milk money was gone.
Well, but there was no stopping these people. It didn't matter whether it was legal, illegal. The one place my grandmother ever went when she was when my grandfather was alive was to Monticello, to the racetrack. He never took her any place else.
But somebody's going to write me a letter and say, you should talk to Cheryl about this.
Well,
is it ethical that you write for Gambling Magazine?
Well, what I often did was interview the winners, people usually at the slot machines, mm-hmm. and I hate to say it, but they enjoy it. They really, they could be in their 30s, but a lot of them were, or most of them actually were in their 60s and 70s, and some of them, they really thought it was the most exciting thing that they were ever doing.
Yeah. Sure, it is addictive. It's like alcohol.
Really, you know, giving away all of their Social Security money at this, but this is the thing they treated themselves to once a month, and very often they went to the restaurant and the casino. And at that point, I started feeling like maybe I shouldn't judge them. I was hoping they would get a different kind of life, but this was...
Yeah, they're entertainment dollars.
They were very entertained by it. And, of course, I was only speaking to the winners, so naturally they couldn't have been happier. But they were very often long-time gamblers, and this is really where they got their thrills.
Hey, Cheryl, before we let you go, are you listening in Milford, PA on our 90.9 transmitter? Are you still there?
Yes, I am. I am listening on 90.9.
Well, it's awfully nice to have you here, and we always love to hear from Pennsylvania. Very cool. It makes it all worthwhile. Thanks a lot for the call. Perfect timing. We lost her. That's the way it goes. Vincent and Saugerties. Vincent.
Yes, Ray. How are you today?
Hey.
And my good friend, Alan.
Indeed.
I just think somebody needs to speak some really simple truth to some of the people listening out there. And it's quite obvious to me that the powers that be, whoever you may want to point them to be, should be a little more responsible in what they allow or don't allow in society today. And it's obvious. It is no good for anyone to gamble. Money is hard to come by. Everybody knows that. You work. You earn your dollar.
And you think
it's
they're targeting.
To do.
And you think they're targeting.
Instead of taking your money and sticking it in a slot, hoping for the dollar in a dream like New York State has sold people of lesser intelligence, the poorer people out there. You know, come on.
Okay.
What could you teach them to be doing with that money? And as far as people that can afford to do it and enjoy it, they got disposable income. I know where that money needs to be going.
Take
care of your fellow man, not to enjoy yourself.
Okay.
You know, in other words, if you look from my point of view, you tell someone to go in the bathroom and pleasure themselves.
Oh, boy.
They're
going to
get something more out of it.
We appreciate that. And that's probably an angle that, probably a philosophical angle that he's making perfect sense. But, you know, let's just move on. Lucy in Great Barrington. Lucy.
Oh, hi. I was just calling in to say that New York State is really already in the gambling business. I was just over in OTB this past weekend for the horse races, and the place was packed. So it does bring in money to the state.
Sure.
But not all of them. They closed them in New York City. Didn't work out.
They're still bringing in some money.
Yeah? Well, good. Lucy, thanks
except
a lot.
For the bankrupt
appreciate
ones.
It very much. Dana in Poughkeepsie. Dana.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome.
Well, we've had a lot of good women today here.
Oh, see, you got another one.
I appreciate that.
He has a quota system, but it's not true.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. I just want to encourage everybody because we're an equal opportunity radio station.
Right. So go ahead, Dana.
Well, I'm in a theater company, and we do a lot of shows up at the Akwesasne Casino.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to add a perspective from someone who doesn't really gamble. And if I do, you know, it's just so with friends.
Dana, you're fading in and out. We can't hear you now.
Can you turn just 20, 25 or 30 degrees?
Turn around.
Yeah, let me do it.
Okay.
I'm I'm driving up to the even creepier part of the street.
Ah.
Wow. Is that better right there?
Yeah, that'll work. Okay, go ahead. Let's make it fast before we lose you.
So I was just going to say, you know, we go into the casino and a couple times a year with our theater group, and I rarely ever stay at the hotel casino or, you know, at the hotel on the compound.
Yeah.
And so I would say that, you know, between me and 10 other people, we spend thousands at local hotels and restaurants and, you know, outside, and we absolutely support the local economies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've never pawned anything. I've never been to, you know, any of those establishments.
But you do believe that, Dana, but you do believe others have, right? You know that others have.
No, of course. But there are people who aren't so shady who go into the casinos. And you know, if I do go in and ever gamble, the previous caller about the bathroom situation, I didn't follow the whole thing.
Good.
You know,
better that you don't.
No, I know.
Let's not bring that up again.
But, you know, you could treat it like a bad movie. Sometimes you go in and you see a bad movie and you're choosing to spend a little money and it might not work out. And you just go home and maybe it was lousy entertainment and it should never have happened. But you don't go every week.
No,
you don't, but
some do. Hey, Dana, we're going to let you go. And here's why. Because the show is almost over. We got two more people up on the board. We want to make sure that we get them. OK,
Dana, thanks
a
lot.
There's normal people to go into.
Agreed. Yeah, and also, you know, there are all those other businesses that do reap some benefit, like the ones, the hotels outside of the casino where...
Well, that's a point.
Dana goes.
No, that's a point.
Marjorie and Saugerties. Marjorie, you're on.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hi. Good.
Good. I agree with Lanny. We fought very hard to keep that casino out. And what I don't understand is where do the people who are... wanting to develop these, where do they think that all the money is going to come from?
Mm. No, that's
provide
a point.
Jobs to construct the facilities. And also, I think the people who are in favor should go and visit the neighborhoods surrounding the casinos.
Yeah, those are all very good points. And they were made before earlier in the show, Marjorie.
Yes.
And I thank you for adding your time to this. We appreciate it.
Okay. Take care,
Marjorie.
Alan.
Yeah. It's Natalie's turn in Natick. Natalie, you're on.
Hi. I'll also agree with your previous caller in that I don't think we should make any generalizations about the clientele that comes to the casinos. But here in Massachusetts, I was following the debate regarding Foxborough, and it seemed to me like one of the main reasons was that people didn't want the value of their property going down. They didn't want the value of the level of their schools going down. You know, I'm looking for a home right now, and to tell you the truth, if I was looking at a town and that town had a casino, I would not want to go there.
Hmm. Well, you make a very good point. Okay, let's let Natalie go, and that way we can get Kathy on. Okay,
right,
thanks, Natalie.
Thanks a lot. And Kathy in Leeds. Kathy, you're on Vox Pop. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I wanted to tell people the experience that my sister had. She lives in on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, and when the casinos came there, how things changed in the area. One of the things that she found that people told her is that the jobs, the people who are looking forward to the jobs that the casinos will be offering, well, the ones that came there were better-paying jobs, so some people left their low-paying jobs, lower-paying full-time year-round jobs, and worked for the casinos, and that was fine, until the season went bad, and then the casinos laid them off.
Sure.
So then they had no jobs. And
that could happen in any job, though, right?
Right. Yeah. But I think if New York State thought about it, maybe they could build in some protections for New York workers before the casinos come.
Like what?
Well, maybe they could, I don't know if you can do this, but make the casinos be friendly to unions, so the unions could help protect workers from abuses.
Well, that's an interesting point. Now, there are votes going on, and I think there have been votes in Connecticut at some of those casinos for unionization. Of course, the management of the casinos, not all that in favor of same.
Sure.
but it's happened, and so you make a point there as well. Thank you.
And by the way, we're Kathy, as you might expect, we're sort of out of time now and up against it. So we appreciate you making that call and adding that good point.
And you are the last one, Kathy. Thanks so much for being here. Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire International Film Festival, May 31st through June 3rd. Great Barrington and Pittsfield, Ethel Kennedy, Marina Abramovich, Gregory Crutzen, and 70 Films. BIFFMA.org. Maria College, Albany, New York, offering RN, BS degree in nursing, 9 associate degrees and 5 certificate programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes, mariacollege.edu. And Bill's Maps, publishers of the new Hudson River Boater's Guide and Map, walking tours of 13 historic waterfronts along the Hudson, Troy to Peekskill, New York, billsmaps.com. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Alan Shartok was here. Well done, sir. Thank you for being here.
And to you, big boy.
Our producer, Patrick Donges. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow's program, forget about it. It's the Career Forum.
Oh, boy.
With the career fellas. Stay tuned now for a news update.